We're going to be today in Acts 18. Acts 18. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness toward us. Thank you for your promise of your presence, that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word, and that, Lord, you would, don't let me get in the way of your word. Please speak to us, prepare our hearts to receive all you have for us this morning, and fill us, Lord, with courage, fill us with the awareness of your presence, that, Lord, we would trust you and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our study today will be in the book of Acts, chapter 18. Paul had just left Athens, where he had shared the gospel with the philosophers of Athens. And that's where he noticed that they had an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. And so he used that as a bridge. Let me tell you guys about the God that you do not know. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he began to introduce the Lord Jesus that way to them. But now he's made his way to Corinth. Corinth was a great city in the Roman Empire. Its population was about 200,000. Its location was central to trade and money. It was a place where there's also central to immorality, strange philosophies, and religions. A lot of people passed through there, and they brought something to Corinth. And the Bible, well, we see several examples of people who need courage and encouragement to trust and obey the Lord. The Bible reminds us that this same encouragement is available to each one of us today as well. In those days, if you wanted to describe someone who lived a crazy life, an immoral life, a life without no boundaries, you would say, that guy lives like a Corinthian. He's just a Corinthian. Sadly, today we have LA, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Seattle, New York City, just a few of the places where a Corinthian would feel just at home. And this is where Paul is visiting now. Paul is visiting Corinth in his next missionary journey. And so, verse 1 to 3. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and the can bring you one. But we're going to begin in Acts 18, verse 1 to 3. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was from the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for by occupation. They were tent makers. It was from this city that the Apostle Paul wrote what we know as the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans. And so when we read Romans, and I'd like for us to read just a little bit, chapter 1, verse 22 to 32. When we read Romans, we get a description of the immoral environment in Corinth. To someone unfamiliar with this passage, you might think this was written today. But this was actually written 2,000 years ago. Listen to what it says, Romans 1, 22 to 32. This is what Paul was seeing in Corinth as he is writing to the Romans. Professing to be wise, this is the people that I'm surrounded with. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women will use for what is against nature: righteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. Sadly, this is a description of the godless culture of today as well. And due to the silence of the church, the lack of courage to stand firm in the truth and obey, well, this continues to infect family after family. And even leaks into the church, because we will not stand firm on what is true. Now, is it loving to say something and you don't say something and you don't say it? For example, my son was diagnosed with a very rare type of cancer, one in a million, and doctors did not know how to deal with this. Now, if the doctor would have said on it, my son needed a serious treatment for this, and praise God that the Lord guided us to the right doctors, and we went through that season, and we saw God's faithfulness, and through your prayers and everyone, we got to, you know, go through that journey. But again, we needed to hear the truth in order to consider the cure, right? The cure, right? We need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth and love to those around us. Well, this was the underlying current that Paul was swimming against. So while Paul waits for Timothy and Silas to catch up with him, he walks the streets of Corinth, and this is what he sees. Yet he was determined to make every good use of the opportunities that he was given. He wanted to share the gospel there in Corinth. Through the city alone, the Lord, he knew that this was really difficult for Paul. So he divinely brought in a couple, a husband and wife team, who would share in the same line of work with him. And so this is what happens next here. Well, I think I skipped a little bit. But anyway, Paul was a tent maker, and so the Lord brought a couple to come alongside of him. It says in verse 2, and he found a certain Jew born in Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had committed all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. So all Jewish boys were required to learn a trade. It didn't matter what profession they might enter. Jewish rabbis used to say, he who does not teach his son to work teaches him to steal. So, which is wise counsel, right? So Saul of Tarsus had learned to make leather tents, and this is how he supported himself throughout this ministry. But I love how God works. Knowing the pressure that Paul was under in this dark environment, the immorality of this city, God brought this couple to help him. And Paul later on calls them his fellow workers who risked their own necks for his life in Romans 16. I think every pastor thanks the Lord for an Aquila and Priscilla in their church. And because they're a great encouragement. And we need more Aquila and Priscillas. We have a lot of Priscillas, but I think we're lacking Aquilas, the guys. So where are they? Where are these Aquila and Priscillas today? These helpers, these that will come alongside and say, I want to help. I want to help in the gospel. How can we help? How can we serve? Husbands and wives co-laboring together for the kingdom of God. That's beautiful. Well, God provided Aquila and Priscilla as helpers to Paul. I remember when I worked for the government, I got to travel to many places around the world. And after giving my life to the Lord, in order to take precautions for my spiritual integrity, I would meet with a missionary friend wherever, whatever country I was in. I would make the call before I went, before I got my assignment. I was going to go either to the Philippines or I was going to go wherever it was. I would make a call. I would start making arrangements so that after my job is done there, I could meet up with a missionary there. And I got to just be able to meet with a lot of friends. But all this, I was doing this in a way to keep myself accountable as well, to not just be idle in a foreign country by myself. You know, most of the time, my partner wanted to go to a bar or wanted to go somewhere else, and I didn't want to partake in that. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And to me, that was my way of escape. Call a missionary friend, call a pastor that's in that area, and just get to see what God is doing in that part of the world. And so in that way, I got to establish, I got to gain a lot of fruitful friendships. Brothers like Lito and Cecile in the Philippines and Manila. Brothers like John Bonner in Peru. Florin from Romania. All these that I got to connect with while I was an assignment, you know, in that part of the world. And it became fruitful. We stayed in touch for years, and even up till now. So I love how the Lord has different people all over the world. But that was for me, an opportunity to connect with another believer. And for Paul, he needed an Aquila and Priscilla in this place called Corinth, which was really an immoral, dark city. He needed someone to partner up with him. And so the Lord brought, you know, this couple. So verse 4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Did I skip verse 3? It says, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So on the Sabbath, you could find Paul in the synagogue looking for open doors to share the gospel. And what a great example of how to use your days off, right? He worked during the week, tent making with Aquila and Priscilla. And on the Sabbath, you could find him looking for opportunities to share Jesus. I remember putting in for days off, you know, and I used to work shift work. And so I couldn't get weekends off all the time. You know, in law enforcement, that's just how it is. But I remember asking for Sundays off so I can go to church, so I can come here and just be able to fellowship and serve. And sometimes I wouldn't get the days off because, you know, I was not senior enough. You know, the day was be given to a senior officer. And so maybe I had to switch it up. Maybe I had to work nights that Sunday. And so I remember working midnights to 8 and hoping that I don't stay over so I can come to church, you know, right after work. And that was, again, just me wanting to stay plugged in. But here, you can see that Paul, you could find him every Sabbath at the synagogue, sharing Jesus. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. So he was waiting. We get to encourage them to come to church, and then they get to give their lives to the Lord, and you see them continue on their walk with the Lord. That is so encouraging. That is so encouraging to stay in touch with them and to see what God is doing. Well, Paul felt encouraged, and so this just gave him more more of an encouragement to go and continue the work that he's doing. Verse 6. Everybody awake? Everybody still good? Verse 6 says, "But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" The Apostle Paul never wavered from sharing the gospel with the Jews first and then with the Gentiles. But in his heart, he wanted to see his fellow Jews come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He knew what it is to be a Jew, a Pharisee, a religious man, and not have a relationship with Jesus. He knew what that was. And now he came to the other side. In the same way, if you do not know Jesus right now as your Savior and Lord, I know what it is to be in your shoes. But yet, you still don't know what it is to know the Lord. And I invite you, come, believe, trust him. Paul wanted this for his fellow Jews. As a former Pharisee, born again, he felt compelled to warn them against rejecting the Lord Jesus. Don't reject him. He did not want to be responsible for their blood by remaining silent, by not saying nothing. By warning them, they would be responsible for their own blood. Not Paul, because he, as a watchman, warned them according to Ezekiel 33:4. What does Ezekiel 33:4 say? "Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head." Do you have a friend that keeps sharing Jesus with you? Or maybe he sent you this video and keeps inviting you to come to church. Maybe he's a family member that keeps telling you, "Come, you should come and visit the church. Come." They're doing this because they love you, not because they want to know you. They love you, and they want you to share in something beautiful, something awesome. I mean, we do this automatically when we go to a restaurant. Something that we enjoy, right? We have an experience somewhere that is great. We want to share that with someone. Well, this is the greatest joy, to share Jesus with others. And so if someone is inviting you to church, they're doing it because they love you. If after hearing the gospel, you still don't care about where you're spending eternity, it's not your friend's fault. It's all on you. Here's a lesson and an example for us against remaining silent. We are not to keep the gospel to ourselves. If we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is a disciple? It's a student, right? If we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must warn the unbeliever about the consequences of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we're all in a plane of life. It's a plane. And it's going down eventually. And your only parachute is Jesus. If you don't have him, you need to put him on. You need to put him on. You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ as your parachute. He's your only Savior. He's the only one that said, I'm gonna be persecuted. I'm going to go to the cross. They will crucify me. I will die. And in 3 days, I will rise again. He's the only one that said it and did it. He's the only one that went to the cross, the curtain of death, and came back to tell you, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He's the only one that has the authority to say that. He came from the Father. He crossed the curtain of death for you and me, to purchase our peace with God. He's our only parachute. When we reject Christ, we are as helpless as Rahab's neighbors in Jericho. Do you remember Rahab in Joshua chapter 2? Joshua sends these spies and into Jericho. Jericho is a fortified city. And these spies, they end up in hiding in Rahab's house. Rahab was a prostitute, and she knew that these spies were Israelis, and she had heard of the God of Israel, and so she helped them, and she said, "We know that God has given you the city. When you guys take over, remember me and my family." And the spies tell her, "Well, if your family's in your house, you bring them in, and if you let out this scarlet cord down your window, then it'll be done. But if you don't keep this a secret, and if you don't do as I say, the blood will be on your own head." When we reject Christ, we are as helpless as the Egyptians who did not cover their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, and they lost their firstborn after the Lord passed over, Exodus 12. Do you remember that? They were instructed to put the blood on their doorpost. Paul was able to say in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The gospel is for everyone. But how will they know unless we say something? How will they know? It begins with our household. Do you share the gospel with your own family? Do you talk about Jesus at home? Or is that for Sunday? That's only a topic for Sunday. No, we don't talk religion at home. Jesus should be a part of your conversation all the time. To our children, to our grandchildren. It begins with our homes. Men, it begins with us. Verse 7, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue." Interestingly, a door for the gospel opens next door to the synagogue where the Jews and Gentiles are welcome. So Paul is rejected at the synagogue, but there's a man by the name of Justus who says, "Hey, you can meet at our house." And the Bible study begins to grow next to the synagogue. And this Bible study begins to grow. And Gentiles and Jews are welcome. Verse 8, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Well, this is where it gets good. Crispus, now he believes as well. Oh, how we need the men of God to believe is blessed as well. This produced a chain reaction in the lives of others. The gospel is transforming lives in Corinth. This is big news. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, now believes. As the attendance in the synagogue gets lower and the attendance at the Bible study in Justus' house increases, as usual, when the devil starts losing slaves, he begins to increase the opposition against the work of God. This should encourage us, because the enemy wouldn't attack us unless he's losing ground. C.S. Lewis said, "There's no neutral ground. Every moment, ground is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan." So this must have made the Jews in the synagogue really furious. And they started rid of Paul. Started seeing the writing on the wall. Maybe he's starting to be followed. I don't know. He's starting to get maybe discouraged. Maybe he started planning to leave. "I think it's time for me to pack and get out of here." Was he feeling overwhelmed? Or maybe the darkness of the city, the immorality. Dr. Luke doesn't give us any details. Luke is the one that wrote the book of Acts. And Luke doesn't give us details between verses 8 and 9. But something happened here. Why would God say, "Don't," unless? Something happened. Paul might have started thinking of leaving. So the Lord came and gave him this assurance and encouragement just at the right time. And he gave him this reminder. Verse 9. You guys together in verse 9? Here we go. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in the city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul needed this reminder. It's so much easier to keep quiet, isn't it? It's so much easier to keep the gospel to yourself, to live in your own little cocoon, to work silently in your cubicle. The world is telling you, you believe what you believe, and let me believe what I want to believe. That's your business. But out of love, we can't keep silent. We must make good use of every opportunity that God gives us. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And look at this, what it says. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We all have a part in this. We all have a circle of influence in someone's life. Either we're leading them towards the Lord or we're leading them away from the Lord. The question is, which one are we? Are we remaining silent due to fear, due to thinking that we're inadequate? We need to take courage today. We need to be in God's word so that he can bring out from you at the right time that word that you need to share. There was one time, I was at work, and I passed by my supervisor's office, and his door was open, and the Holy Spirit moved upon my heart to ask him if I could pray for him. And he said yes. And I closed the door behind me, and I prayed for my supervisor. And it turned into something beautiful. He acknowledged that he needed Jesus in his life as well. And so one step led to the other, and he gave his life to the Lord, he and his whole household. So that's beautiful, and he's with us today. We work together. We all have part in this. We all need encouragement. We all need to take that step of obedience. When the Lord is calling you, share the truth. Share the love of Christ with that person. And don't keep it to yourself. God reminded Paul, because Paul was beginning to feel discouraged, afraid. So it says in verse 12, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews, with one accord, rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. The Jews had stirred up trouble against Paul in the past and had forced him to leave Thessalonica and Berea. And now they're getting ready to do the same thing in Corinth. A commentary by Warren, to silence you or to keep you from church. We all experienced that during COVID, right? So once again, here the Jews wanted to use the Roman legal system as their weapon against Paul. Verse 14, and when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, oh Jews, there would be reason why I would bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Listen, I love this part. Paul is is right there being about to be, you know, judged, and he's getting ready to, he's probably praying inside, you know, oh Lord, give me the words so I can know what to say. And he's about to speak, and Gallio says, hey, this is religious stuff? Get out of here. I don't want to get involved in this. Let him loose. Gallio turns Paul loose. He says, this is, and he just takes the wind off their sails. Once again, the Lord rescues Paul from his enemies like he had done before. The Lord came to his defense. Verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So the Greeks who were watching all this turned to Sosthenes, the man who replaced Crispus, a ruler of the synagogue, and now they turned to attack Sosthenes for failing to stop Paul. But Gallio just walked away. In 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it makes mention of a Sosthenes. Now, if this is the same person, the same Sosthenes, then that means that he became a believer as well as the Jews, as Justice, right? I mean, the other Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue. So the Jews had to find another replacement for the ruler of their synagogue. I wonder how this happened. I wonder if Paul and Crispus and Jason, and just as they came and they ministered to Sosthenes and just washed his wounds and prayed over him and shared Jesus with him. Did the believers do this? We don't know. It's possible. But what we know is that Paul took the courage to speak. He didn't keep silent. And it's because of this that the church of Corinth was born. Throughout Scripture, God has repeatedly reminded his servants to be courageous. After Moses passed away, Joshua, his assistant, he stayed behind with the children of Israel. And looking at all these people, all the Israelites, Joshua must have felt overwhelmed, like, wow. Now Moses he's passed, and now it's up to me. He must have felt overwhelmed, and he needed encouragement. And so the Lord speaks to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow. Just at the right time, Joshua needed to hear this. Just like Paul, he needed to hear that. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I thank the Lord for Pastor Pete and just leaving San Diego, nice San Diego, and coming to the desert. It must have taken courage and faith to trust the Lord and to keep coming until the Lord gave birth to this church, El Centro. Thank the Lord for John Barilaro from Mexicali, who, not knowing any Spanish, he went to Mexicali and began, you know, what is now known as Reparador de Portillos, or Calvary Chapel Mexicali. It took courage. They trusted the Lord and they obeyed. And they came. There's many times that on my assignments overseas, I took this detainee with me on the plane, and there was one time that I knew that the guy next to me was a Muslim, and he was he knew that he was going back to his country. And so I would open up my Bible and I just start reading to, you know, on my own, waiting for him to ask me a question. And I would pray, Lord, open an opportunity, open a door here. And the man would eventually look at me and say, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading the Bible. And he'll say, oh. And I said, do you read the Bible? He said, no, I'm Muslim. I said, so what do you read? He said, we read the Quran. And I said, does the Quran have any prophecies? What do you mean? I go, does the Quran tell you of something that is going to happen in the future and that now you could see that it did happen, that it fulfilled it? Oh, no, it's not like that. Then how do you know that it's, you can rely on it, that you can trust it? I never had that question asked. I said, well, can I show you why I trust the Bible? And I began to take him through some of the scriptures. You know, Pastor Pete had just given us a little card that pointed how the Lord is Savior, God is a Savior, and all the scriptures that point to one Savior, one God, all fulfilled in Jesus. And I walked him through that. And at the end of that, he prayed with me and called upon the Lord to be his Savior and Lord. And I gave him the card and I took a picture. I said, you mind taking a picture with me so I can send it to some brothers at church and they can pray for you? And he says, yes, yeah. And he took a picture with me. But we need to be looking for opportunities. You can trust Jesus. You can trust his word. He doesn't want you to be silent. You have the best news. If you know Jesus, you have the best news ever. And you cannot stay silent. The Lord is with you. I love how today's worship songs just reminding us of God's presence. You never let go. Sovereign over us. Gratitude. I love how the songs reminded us of God's presence. The word of God reminds us today, do not be afraid. Speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, says the Lord. All of us will experience some kind of fear from time to time. It could be a bad diagnosis. It could be a loss of a job, a loss of income. It could be fear for your children. It could be a variety of things that could make you afraid. But God's word remains the same. As the Lord spoke to Abraham, as the Lord spoke to Joshua, as the Lord spoke to Daniel in the lion's den, as the Lord spoke to Mary, that she was going to give birth to Jesus the Messiah. As the Lord spoke to Peter, when he told him to cast the net on the other side, and we've been fishing all night, but at your word, we'll do it. And he did. And at that moment, when he catches all these fish, it dawns on him, I am a sinner, and I'm before the Messiah. Depart from me. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fisher of men. Same word that the Lord spoke to Paul. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Did you know that this same word he speaks to you today? He speaks it to you. God wants us to take refuge in Jesus, our strength, our comforter, our peace, our righteousness. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. His name says it all. Emmanuel, God is with us. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is the day to remember those who extraordinarily, I mean, with their courage, they willingly fought and gave their lives for the freedoms of this nation. Freedoms that we enjoy today. Freedoms that we often take for granted. The freedom to speak, to share Jesus. The freedom to gather here at church. North Korea doesn't have these freedoms. If they catch you with a Bible, you and your whole family are jailed up. When I went to China, people don't even have a right to a car. You get a car if you win, if your name comes up in the lottery. And give you a certain license plate, and you can only go into certain parts of the city. We enjoy rights that we don't even, that we take for granted. You enjoy freedoms in the United States. You and I enjoy freedoms because people have given their lives so that we can be free. And it took courage for them. So tomorrow, let us remember the American soldiers throughout our history, military members who lost their lives for our country. But in closing, Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us. And this is a promise for a child of God. How is this possible? Because in the moment when you were born again, you received the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of your inheritance. This is how he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this is for someone who is born again. If you're not sure that you're born again, and you would like this assurance of his presence, it begins by placing your trust in Jesus. It begins by believing who he said he is. And he proved it according to prophecy. You don't believe me? Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and look up and the description. This was written 400 years before the Romans invented crucifixion. And right there, it tells you, they pierced my hands and my feet. Don't take my word. Open your Bible. Look it up for yourself. There's over 300 prophecies about Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled them. And he's the only one that has the authority to say, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Put your trust in him, and he will give you his Holy Spirit, and you will have the assurance that he will never leave you nor forsake you because he's given you the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the reminder that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Father, for the reminder that we are to not remain silent, but to share you with us, with the people that you surround us with. To look for opportunities to share you, Lord. I pray that you would give us boldness and courage, that we would not remain silent. And Father, if there's anyone here who does not know you as Savior and Lord, that today, Lord, you would give them the courage to trust you, to receive your word. For your word tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for rising from the dead according to prophecy, according to Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray.